With a new administration in place in Zimbabwe and the promise of free and fair elections in July, authorities there are betting on greater international investment in their nation. That's according to Bisha Parajuli, the top official with the UN Development Programme, UNDP, in the Southern African country.
The government has been very active in terms of promoting engagement, and they have declared themselves as open for business, contrary to the past administration, and a lot of energy is being put to invite investors, and also soon there's going to be election.
I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations. Welcome to the latest edition of our podcast, UN and Africa. Last November, the world watched in amazement as Zimbabwe's military placed former president, 93-year-old Robert Mugabe, under house arrest. It was a dramatic and tense period, ending with Mr. Mugabe's resignation after nearly four decades in power. New President Emmerson Mnangagwa has pledged to build a new Zimbabwe, as he put it in an op-ed in the New York Times, one with a thriving and open economy, jobs for its youth, opportunities for investors, and democracy and equal rights for all. The United Nations is no stranger to Zimbabwe, with a slew of agencies supporting national efforts in areas such as stamping out HIV and AIDS and driving down maternal mortality rates. Zimbabwe is also set to benefit from an initiative to end violence against women and girls, launched recently by the UN Secretary General, or SG as we say here, and top brass from the European Union, the EU. With the change of government, the relationship between the country and the global body has in fact deepened, according to Mr. Parajuli, who stopped by our studios recently while in New York for meetings. He began by providing an overview of the UN's work in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe is one of the largest programs of UNDP in Africa, where we are involved in a major way in supporting HIV and AIDS issue, governance issue, resilience building, and various areas of capacity building within the government. And overall, the whole UN system, there are about 15 residence agencies and about another 10 or so non-residence agencies. Last year, in 2017, we delivered about $409 million of support to Zimbabwe across six areas, which is areas of agriculture and food security, area of social services, which is health and education and protection, an area of HIV and AIDS, gender, governance, and capacity building, etc. These are the area we have worked on. Poverty reduction, of course, we worked on. And this involves strong partnership with the government, also engagement with the civil societies. And currently, Zimbabwe is probably, you're hearing a lot because it has, changed government. The government has been very active in terms of promoting engagement, and they have declared themselves as open for business, contrary to the past administration. And a lot of energy is being put to invite investors. And also, soon there's going to be election. The president has declared him that he would give a free and fair, inclusive and peaceful election.
I wonder if you can tell us about the relationship with the new government there.
Well, Zimbabwe and United Nations system has always had an excellent cooperation. That remain so, and it's even further strengthened now because we have been invited to work in some of the areas which were not so easily we were engaged in the past. Like, for example, the UN system is supporting in promotion of human rights. We are working in supporting strengthening of the parliament. We are supporting in areas of peace building, and we are also supporting in different areas of capacity building to the Electoral Commission to contribute to that process of free, fair, and transparent election.
And the team there is in the midst of a five-year development plan with the country. I wonder if you can give us an update on that.
Okay. Normally, the UN system and the government in any country, they develop a framework of partnership. We did that in 2015, And as I mentioned earlier, there are six areas of priority which we set up, such as I was saying, agriculture and food security, social services, governance, and a strengthening of institutions, which includes human rights, democratic governments, etc., and then also gender, HIV, and poverty reduction. And in the last 2 years of that cycle, we have had excellent cooperation with government and with support from development partners. UN system has delivered about close to $815 million so far, average plus $400 million. And it has really helped to improve in many areas of social life and betterment of the Zimbabwean population, and also supporting toward the sustainable development goals. So that process continues, and we are working with the new government in terms of reinforcing our cooperation, in terms of supporting the new priorities they have set, because at the end of the day, UN system is there to strengthen the various necessity and the development priority of the government, and especially in the context of new dispensation in Zimbabwe. They are calling for a lot of investors to come in, private sector to come in, which is really fundamental. Actually, the aid alone is not enough. And with those investments, and there will be more opportunities. And Zimbabwe, luckily, is blessed with a lot of natural resources and plenty of land. So bringing those to productive use and mobilizing the resources from the mineral side for the betterment of the people is really important. And in that context, the important thing is to engage with investors, to engage with the financial institutions. There are pending repayment to the financial institutions like World Bank and IMF. IMF have been just settled, and the African Development Bank and the Paris Club. The government is trying to renegotiate on that. And they are saying they're very committed to settle the old and engage with the financial institution. And we are really hoping, as a UN system, that takes place, and we really encourage, we support, and I think the prospect and the future men of the Zimbabwe people is very bright. There are a number of areas improvement have been made, but there is still a challenge in Zimbabwe. The poverty level is still high. Unemployment level is very high. The maternal mortality is still high. The stunting is high. The agricultural productivity is one of the lowest in the region. So all these need investment.
And to attract that investment, of course, the elections will definitely be important. Is Zimbabwe prepared to hold free and fair elections?
Well, as far as, you know, we see it, there are some good signs because the new voter rolls is being developed with 5.4 million new voter registration. There is a lot of engagement between political parties and the ruling fraction. Engagement between election commission, the civil society, and others. The political parties themselves are getting together to agree on a code of conduct for holding peaceful election. So all these signs are positive. You know, they have invited European Union and other countries to come and observe election, which has never been the case in Zimbabwe. And also there has been high level of engagement from U.S. Senate, EU commissioners, the Carter Center was there. So various signs are very positive.
You touched on the numerous challenges that the country still face, one of which is maternal mortality. Since UNDP also works on gender issues, what is the situation of women in the country? Because that's a huge priority for the UN.
Well, in fact, right now, you know, we have been fortunate, and that also shows the challenge Zimbabwe faces. The SG and the highest level EU, they have brought out this new initiative called Spotlight Initiative, which has a 500 million euro program globally and about 250 or so in Africa. And about the 8 African countries, Zimbabwe is one of the countries included. So obviously we have a big concern on gender issues. Gender-based violence is high. Child marriage is there. There is a need to empower women. Although, if I should say, you know, Zimbabwe is taking proactive role. In fact, they have over 30% quota in parliament for women, and a high level of engagement of women in administration, civil service. There are a number of ministers, women ministers, permanent secretaries. Is it enough? Not. But there are good signs, and I think Zimbabwe, with the very strong educated human resources and progressive open society, big opportunities is there. But there is also concern, but we are moving on in a positive way. So the UN system right now working on a proposal on that spotlight initiative to support further on what we are doing. At the moment, we are involved in various activities in addressing maternal mortality rate, maternal health issue, education for girls, gender-based violence, child marriage, and et cetera. But we need to reinforce, and you know, always the resource is a challenge. So with the new resource which we are getting, we're hoping to make a difference, and it will make a difference. And the government is very committed and positive about it. So there is the big scope and opportunity to drive the gender issue towards equality in Zimbabwe.
Mr. Parajuli, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to speak with us. Is there any point that you want to reinforce or any particular message you'd like to leave with our audience?
First of all, I want to thank you for giving me this chance to be on the UN media. And the second point I want to say is we, the team in Zimbabwe, the UN team, have been working very hard. And we are working to make a difference and improve the people's life in Zimbabwe. I want to thank the development partner for the trust and confidence they have on the UN system. And then the second point I want to say is this is a time, there is a great opportunity to work on as the government has been open and calling for help and support, and to strengthen their vision, to strengthen their capacity, and to help them to achieve their goal in terms of achieving sustainable development goal, to contribute to the democratic process, to promote human rights, and et cetera. So my remark is, I think the international community should be very open, UN should be very open to engage and partner and support Zimbabwe to come out of some of the major crises they have had in the last several years, so they can stand on their own. And they have enormous opportunity and potential, and they take advantage of that for their own destiny and the betterment of their future.
That was Bishop Parajuli, the UN resident coordinator and resident representative in Zimbabwe for the UN Development Programme, UNDP. Thanks for listening to UN and Africa, a podcast by the team here at UN News in New York. You can check out more of our podcasts on the web at news.un.org or via iTunes or SoundCloud. I'm Deanne Penn. Join us again soon. Africa.